UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, let's do this one, shall we? It's a We Want to Know Wednesday, and as always, I try and pluck some obscure subject to when it's not sports, and it frequently isn't. Let me see if I can find them. I had made a... No, that's not the one I wanted. God bless it. I'll find it. But anyway, if you want to send us a We Want to Know Wednesday, send it to us at 437-9680, 437-9680, and we will include that in our conversation today, and you might be eligible for a fabulous Empire Electrons prize, which we're looking forward to. See, that's not the one I wanted for a reason. Let me see if I can find this one instead. Oh, I know. Here we go. This is the one I was looking for.
I can kick this off with a bang.
Go ahead. What do you got for me?
You're going to be mad at me. Caller called in, and just want to pass along that sharks have two penises.
Oh, again with that. I can't escape it. It's kind of like being a child actor. You're typecast forever now. Now, We Want to Know Wednesday has become We Want to Know About Your Penis Wednesday, which is not what it was intended to be.
No, not at all. Also, here's a good one. This just kind of has to deal with the show. We want to know, when someone comes up to Bob to donate when he is on the air, does he tell them to state your business?
I will, if that's what you want me to do. If you come here and you want to be called out for stating your business, I'll be happy to do that. If not, I will simply give you a friendly salute. Drew Diener's manning the cash machine over there and counting up, see where we are. And we'll get an update sooner or later. But, yeah, if you'd like to, I'll be happy to yell at you if you want.
I'm trying to find this one that I actually was. There's that thing that they say on Twitter. I was today years old or whatever when I learned so-and-so happened. I was today years old when I'll get to that text in a minute. But this is a gem. And Andy actually screenshotted it to me and sent it to me. And I fell out of my chair. I was laughing so hard. Text coming down, UPS.
So wait a minute. So is this from a listener?
This is from a listener. And it's so good that Andy screenshotted it and sent it to me.
Okay.
Text coming down, UPS jobs text line 437-9680. Is there anything more stereotypical than the Italian broadcasting from the delicatessen?
Yes, it would be from a pizzeria, probably. Delis are generally associated more with the people of the Jewish faith. Most of the New York delis were Jewish delis or German delis.
That's awesome.
So, no, I'd have to go. I should go broadcast if you want to be stereotypical from an Italian pizzeria. That would be good. I would do that. Although the delicatessen here is pretty awesome. This is amazing store, Kroger. They got the salad bar there. They got, they have a bistro over there. There's a cheese shop right there. There's a bakery right there. There's hot soup. I could go for some soup right now. They actually have, I will say this. This, all right, listener, this is right in your wheelhouse. Right over there, Nick, I'm pointing it to you. See it? Olives and antipasto. They actually have a whole display
Kroger,
for antipasto.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
That is awesome.
Kroger's really.
Oh, here comes,
really,
here comes
really.
New York Mike. Be on your best behavior. Here comes New York Mike, everybody.
Is it really New York Mike? Tell him I said hi. Hi, yes, New York Mike.
He's saying hello to Drew right now. All right. Well, go ahead. What's the other one you've got?
I'm having a hard time finding it. But a lot of them are just coming down. UPS jobs, text line 437-9680. It had to do with the man who sang You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. I always thought It was
Kellogg's the cornflake guy.
I always thought,
Kellogg's the Tony the Tiger, the guy who did the Tony the Tiger.
Well, no, that is who actually did it. I always thought it was James Earl Jones.
No.
It's not James Earl Jones.
Tony the Tiger.
Right, and it's...
That song is great.
Right, Thurl Ravenscroft. Yeah, that's it. Thurl Ravenscroft. That's the man who's saying, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch." Also, yes, the voice of Tony the Tiger. That was the one that came down the UPS jobs text line.
Unfortunately, he's currently dead, but was a very talented fellow. But he won't be making any records anytime soon.
Another text coming down here. Text those in. It is We Want to Know Wednesday, 437-9680. Watching Bobby V do a show is comedy. Acting out, shooting the ball is great entertainment when walking through Kroger. So you were delighting somebody with your or Italian.
Well, it's just, I was describing how they were running their offense, and I have it in my head. And it's like the abstract in front of me. I'm taking little X over here in my imaginary world and putting it over there. And I miss that. I miss drawing plays. I do miss that. I'd love to do a... We've talked about that, but nobody would show up. So I'd love to do a classroom thing and just, break down how things are done, why they're done. I remember bored one day. Remember when you guys were little? You were great. You were like my own little, my own little amusement park if I had nothing to do. And I remember, was you and Jamie or just you? I don't think I did it with Jamie by himself. And I was showing you how to illustrate plays if you were a coach, how to properly diagram plays. A dotted line is a pass.
Right.
A squiggly line is a dribble. A straight line is a guy making a cut. If you draw the line and make a T at the end, it means he's setting a screen. It was fun.
Just imagine Jamie, doesn't know anything. And then, actually, he probably would write up a pretty sweet play. There's a little play.
I didn't have the heart to ask him if he knew how to drew plays up. He coached that eighth grade basketball team 2 years ago. Did you ever come with us? We went to see him coach a game. It was fun. It was really fun. He was really into it. But I don't. I was wondering. He had that clipboard. I was wondering what he was actually drawing on it. But it's not rocket science. I'm sure you could figure it out. I did it with your mother back when we were dating.
That'll be on the mixtape.
I love to draw plays. This is not going to help my case, but I think it seemed appropriate. Somebody sent me a link to this. Okay, because, people don't want to be... Drew came in and told us why everybody inexcusably leaves games early at Louisville. Please, I'm telling you, stay till the end. Stay till the end. We need the upper seat people to chant that. Stay till the end. There needs to be peer pressure. It's ridiculous. The guy who sent the tweet, by the way, absolutely nailed it. This is my whole point. It's not like, getting out of a shopping mall or something. The whole game is for the whole communal experience, the whole thing. And the guy said, Mike Smith from the Louisville Band, check out his tweet. It's a visual. You got to see. It's very funny. Sorry. I didn't see that one till now. But this gentleman, Edgardo said, you are absolutely right. Thank you, Edgardo. Being from Argentina, when your football team is winning, you celebrate your team performance. Going back home is part of the whole party. Driving time, who cares? Enjoy the moment. That's a man who gets it. That's the whole point. And it's amazing you can be so passionate, such a passionate fan base. And it's like at the 16-minute mark, the passion gets cut off. No more passion. Time to go home. Think about this. If you left early, you would have missed, remember the Reese Gaines shot against Tennessee in Freedom Hall? You'd have missed was it Gorgie Jang's shot? Wasn't it? He the one? Was it who made the shot against Virginia? Was that terrible? They were running together. It was Mango.
It was Mango.
Mango shot there.
Because it was the whole. I made you go no, no, yes, because everyone was like no, don't do it, and he had that long, high lofting, little mid jump, mid range jump.
It's just stay till the end, please. Why would you? And not only that, even you say, well, the game wasn't close last night. That close. It was still a game. And more importantly, it's the whole end of the game part of it. That's part of the whole experience. Not just watching guys shake hands. But that's all part of it, man. You're celebrating with the guys as they're leaving the court, and I don't know. I guess. it's probably not as much traffic, but do they still do it? At the end of the women's games, it's like a party, man. The girls all stay, and they're signing autographs, and there's music playing, and little girls are coming out and posing with them. And I don't know. To me, that just seems part of the whole deal. Is it just to watch? I'm going to watch three quarters of a movie. I'm going to dinner, but I'm going to leave halfway through the entree. I'm going to the play, but damn that second act. I am out of here. It just seems, maybe because I have to stay and work, but I don't know. It just seems really, really odd. But, okay, so here's a traffic thing. Because, you know, a lot of these traffic sites that have data to convince people traffic's bad because, you know, it's with global warming and the emissions and all that, they don't want traffic. So in 2010, a traffic jam on the highway near Beijing kept cars stuck in traffic for more than a week. So that's not the answer the Wolf fans are going to want to hear.
That's also,
as I said earlier,
pretty dark. We
stuck
want to
in
traffic. Wednesday.
Stuck in traffic is just, I said, it's just a figure of speech. Well, in this case, it was not. The traffic jam went on for 97 kilometers. The locals sold food and water to the drivers. What a nice humanitarian thing. They sold food and water to the drivers for prices 10 times more than normal.
Oh, my God.
Congestion was caused by trucks carrying coal to Beijing. See, coal, damn it. I'm saying that to put the needle to the friends of coal. Just kidding. Calm down. Guinness World Records claims that what happened in China, however, was not the longest traffic congestion in history. This was an older one that happened in France in 1980. February 16th, 1980, the traffic jam spanned from Lyon to Paris, and it went for 175 kilometers. And they said it was just an issue of there was a highly trafficked day and there was bad weather and it was backed up. How far is 175 kilometers? I don't know how far that
175
is.
175 kilometers. I had to guess it's probably about 110 miles maybe.
Let's see how good your guess is because I shall now type it in the computer. 175 kilometers to miles equals how many miles did you say? What was your guess?
110.
What was your guess?
I said 110.
I didn't hear. 108.74.
Dude.
108.74. Pretty good guessing there.
Thank you.
108-mile traffic jam. Holy crap. That's unbelievable. All right. So, but that, trust me, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you will not be stuck in any kind of traffic like that leaving the basketball game. Fairly sure of that. So, it's just.
That was pretty good. We want to
stay till the end.
We
I can't tell.
Know
when you look at Mike, when you look at Mike Smith's Twitter, is he agreeing with me or saying I'm banging my head against the wall to try and convince people of this?
I don't know. Pretty funny. I've been going through the text line here. UPS jobs text line 437-9680. Text in. We want to know Wednesdays. Got a good one here. A humorous one for Nick. Did you know that Felicia from Friday is the mother of former University of Miami quarterback Brad Keha? Interesting. I'm almost positive you've never seen the movie Friday, although it is a very good movie. You should definitely check it out.
Is that where "By Felicia" comes from?
I'm very proud of you. You knew that. Yes. Good job.
You're welcome. All right. I still don't know who you're talking about.
Well, the woman who plays Felicia in that movie is the mom of former Miami quarterback Brad Keha. Also, this drop comes from that movie.
Damn!
All right, this is interesting for golfers in the crowd. I like this. This is, according to Golf Digest, the 11 hardest courses to get a tee time on in the world. How about that? The 11 hardest tee times in the world. Some of them will not surprise you. Some of them probably will. I don't think they're ranked in order. I think they're just listed. So I'll just read them in order. Number one is Cypress Point in Pebble Beach. And the demand is so great that the comedian Bob Hope once said, one year they had a big membership drive at Cypress. They drove out 40 members. It is very exclusive and very hard to get a tee time. Secondly, this one won't surprise you. Augusta National. The 300 or so members of Augusta National include generations of Southern society folks and corporate titans who are discouraged from using the club too often. Oh, that's hilarious. They want you to join and never play. Number three is Ellerston, Australia. Greg Norman designed course. Don't never heard of it, but it's very hard to get on. Fourth one is in France. Montfontaine, France. Never heard of this either. Built in 1913 as a private playground for the 12th Duke of Gramont. It's a hush-hush place for golf, French golf royalty. Wow. Unaccompanied play is pretty much unheard of, so unless you're tight with one of the Duke's descendants, you're probably not playing there. Next on the list is Seminole Golf Club in Juneau Beach, Florida. Ben Hogan used to practice here for 30 straight days every spring to prepare for the Masters. Seminole. If you can play Seminole, you can play anywhere in the world, he said. Here's one on Long Island. National Golf Links of America, Southampton, New York. I've actually been out there, although I've never played it. Home of the first collection of all-star holes in the United States, courtesy of the pioneering architect C.B. McDonald. This museum piece in the ritzy Hamptons is renowned for having the best lunch in American golf. What the hell's that got to do with playing golf? Just not to outsiders. You're not playing. You're not getting on there unless you are a member. Just take it from a couple of PGA Tour winners who asked to come tee it up after missing the cut at the 95 U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills, which is literally right up the road. Certainly, they were told, who's the member with whom you'll be playing? They wouldn't let them play unless they could find a member to play with them. Next on the list is the Chicago Golf Club, one of the five founding clubs of the USGA, the United States Golf Association, in 1894. Next one is the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. You've heard of that one, I think, if you're a golf fan. It's hosted a lot. USGA events. This is amazing. I've got to go see this course just to see it, because I grew up in New York and I never heard of this, and now I've been reading up on golf courses for the last couple of years just for fun. You know, you start to play thinking about, gee, where would I like to play before I'm unable to walk anymore. And this is a club in New York called the Fisher's Island Club. It's turning up on all these lists. I don't even know where it is. Fisher's Island, New York, accessible only by ferry. This summer resort island off Connecticut. It's one of the most idyllic places around, one of the most idyllic places possible for a round of golf. And there are hardly any members, and you ain't getting on. Next on the list, as we almost wrap it up, two more, is Muirfield Golf Club in Scotland. You've heard of that. It's one of the clubs that's in the rotation for the British Open. And finally, Hirono in Kobe, Japan. This is where they make Kobe beef. If you think obtaining inexpensive Kobe beef is tough, try getting a tee time at this golf course. It's an intensely private club that has played host only two events of note, the Japan Amateur Open. Oh.
Intensely private. What? Intensely private. Like, if you like mention it, like they intensely
poke you. They probably don't even let you
look
at
up.
It. Like,
eyes down, asshat.
What that means, other than they don't want you there. It's as clear as having a sign that says you are not welcome. So there you go. Those are the 11 courses. Strangely, I have no real desire to play any of them except Augusta National. Would be awesome, but they're all too hard for me at this stage in my golfing career. I want to go to the Masters, though. That's a bucket list thing. I've never seen the Masters in person. I would like to do that. And you know, it would be from the, yeah, my roommate Gary Edwards has played Pebble Beach, which is not on the list, surprisingly. I guess if you have enough money, you can get on Pebble Beach. You just got to have a lot of dough. It's like $600 a round now, I think.
Got to peel off a couple.
That's true.
Peel off a couple bills, as Cooper Hassan says.
Some Benjamins. By the way, oh no, I can't get into that either.
We want to know Wednesday.
A reminder, by the way, we're doing Cram the Van, and please contribute and help us here. But I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you it's also the start of Jimmy V Week. And if you want to help in the fight against cancer, you go to jimmyv.org. And if you want to help in the local cancer initiative, KFOV, Kentuckiana Friends of V, KFOV.org. And you can help us there. Last night I watched for the first time in, I don't know how many years now, the 30 for 30 Survive in Advance was on again. I got to be honest. I know, obviously, it's a rooting interest to see NC State's championship, but it's a really well-done thing. It really, the guy who produced it, Jonathan Hawk, is very, very, very talented. And Derek Wittenberg was the executive producer. He was the driving force behind getting it done. He does some yeoman's work on that thing. He was very good. So if you've not seen that one, honestly, I know for Louisville fans it may be bittersweet because that was a loss in the semifinal game, but it was they made it to the national semifinals, and that was truly one of the most amazing games I've ever seen in my life. I've not seen a display like that before nor since. They just were going a million miles an hour up and down the floor and dunking everything they got their hands on, both teams. It was unbelievable. As much as I was an NC State fan, watching that Final Four, you know, was very much like watching the first game. You know, NC State won, I think, 67-60, something like that. They did a nice job. They moved the ball, yay. It was like watching the JV game, and then the varsity came out. It was like, oh, my God. It was unbelievable.
Some of those dunks. That one double pump dunk that Clyde Drexler does.
The double pump one by, that's the one. It was amazing. I told you about that. That was, yeah.
I watched that special. I've never seen. Anytime I've watched that special, I still don't, especially the Pepperdine game. I think to myself, like, no, wait, there's no way. Like, Pepperdine must have got, like, the flu and they let, like, NC State advance after that because Pepperdine couldn't play or something. I was like, there's no way. Like, that, every single time it gets me. Definitely cried. Laughed, thunk, cried. Definitely a good special. We want to know Wednesday, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line, if you want to text those in here. A couple people also texting in about your take about parking. I parked in the Jefferson parking garage, and I was home in Jeff at 10 o'clock. My buddy parked at the Yum Center parking garage and didn't get home until 10:45. So a little bit of a
Well, then
quite a disparity.
Re-examine where you park. I mean, to me, it makes sense. I'd rather adjust where I park and watch the thing I paid for than stubbornly continue to park where I parked and then leave dinner halfway through the main course or miss the third act of the play or, you know, miss the end of a game like this one because it was.
Doesn't it depend
like
where
I
you
said, the end of the game?
Don't you get a parking pass with like season tickets or something? So maybe
if you get a season ticket, you do.
Yeah, so maybe.
But I find it hard. I park in that garage that everybody says they hate, the one right under the Yum Center, and because that's where they give us a pass as the media. And all I know is, by the time I get done with Paul Rogers, get down, everybody's gone. So. You're talking about from the time the game ends. How long does it take Paul and I to do our post game? 20 minutes, maybe? You took 20 more minutes, maybe. And I'll be honest, it's so empty that I would guess, all right, even if it took us a half hour, that you know, the 10 minutes before that, it's probably empty and moving out. And besides, so what if you sit in your car for 3 minutes? Put the radio on, listen to Paul and I. You know, great, we'll entertain you. We'll sing some show tunes. I mean, it's just. The end of the game is really telling to me. I like little things like this. I'm not suggesting the fans would be interested in this, but because they literally, quite literally, shake hands right in front of Paul and I. It's where they meet. It's almost exactly at midcourt. So the teams are coming from one direction and the other direction, and they shake hands right in front of us. I get to watch what the coaches are doing. And Coach Howard is a very... I was really impressed. He said something, went out of his way to say something particularly nice to Wara and to Malik for some reason. Maybe he knows him from somewhere. And now, if I were a player, I'd have been thrilled to meet him. I mean, the guy's played 19 years in the NBA, for God's sake. He was just a class act. But, okay, even if you don't care about that, I don't care about that. I would like them to punch each other in the line. I'm all about ugly. That's what I want. Hate. I want to hate everybody. Hate whatever. The fact of the matter is fine. So then let them go away. And how about your team? The players all go down that little walkway there, and they often will stop and chat with somebody, and they wave and say hello. And more importantly, you're celebrating with your fellow fans. We won. It's over. Wait, when you leave in 5 minutes, what do you? Yay, we're ahead. We probably are going to win. That doesn't quite have the same ring, I don't think. Maybe it does, but I don't know. It's just I hated when I was little. Maybe we're all byproducts of like Nixon counseling because of his childhood with me. We get that. I have loved my dad dearly, but he would leave games early also, and I hated it. I absolutely despised it. So this is not something new. I watched the game. I want to see. And he would leave games, same thing. Whether, if the game was close or not. I mean, but got to remember, this is a guy who played in the forerunner to the NBA. He was a very accomplished baseball player. He'd played in a million games in a bunch of different leagues. He'd refed another 1,000 games. it wasn't as big a deal to him to go to a game as it was to me. To me, it was like Christmas every time we went to a game. So I hate it. I like to go to games he reffed because then we couldn't leave early. He had to stay till the end. He was kind of obligated. So I got to see the end of that. So, but I'm telling you, it's just craziness. Find a way to, even if so, we remember we went to the damn Wolfpack game, the Hartford Wolfpack. And we sat in that garage, and it was a long time, and it's a team I didn't know anybody on. I did not care about them, but I'm far from what you call a fervent fan. You just hung out for a little bit, and then you left. I mean, it was, and I remember I went to the Islanders playoff game last year, and I certainly didn't leave before that was over. And, yeah, the parking lot's a little crowded getting out, but the fans all take their horn, and they do the cadence to "Let's go, Islanders." Honk, 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 honk. "Let's go, Islanders." And I got a rental car, and I'm chiming in. Honk, 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 honk. I mean, so that's the fun of it. That's all part of the damn experience. So it looks awful. If I were a player, I know they don't say anything, but it's so many people, it's hard not to notice. It's the exact same effect as sitting around a dinner table and somebody really lets one go and breaks, you know, some nasty wind. That's
that
the look.
The other, you, me, or Jamie?
The other five people all me. Bolt like the roaches when you put the light on. That's what it looks like from the court. Why'd you do that to the players? Doesn't make any sense. Really doesn't. I don't know. It really is like I've never seen it anywhere else. That's absolutely the truth. So anyway, there's that. All right, what do you want me to do here? What is it you'd like me to do? Would you like me to tell people about our friends at Universal Windows Direct? We can do that because it was cold as heck again last night when I got home. It is a cold, cold few days. And if you want to keep your home toasty for the winter, save yourself money on utility bills, you can do that with our friends at Universal Windows Direct. But now they'll even make it better for you. The holidays are here. You want to save money as the winter comes, those utility bills. But you also want to have a little extra money in your pocket. And the way you can do that is have them come to your home and do a free in-home estimate. They'll give you a $100 Amazon gift card. That'll help take a little of the edge off your holiday shopping. So go ahead and do that. Get them in your home and have them give you a free estimate and let them show you the great quality of these windows. They are made with aerospace technology called Super Spacer. Creates a better seal around the edge of the window. It makes it so that they last longer. They're warranted for as long as you own your home in 30 years to the next homeowner. That's a company standing behind their product. And they absolutely look terrific. You can right now buy one, get one free, no limit. You buy 40 and get 40, whatever you want. Buy one, get one, free installation, and 0% interest financing for 36 months. Some restrictions apply, but that is a great deal on a great window. Remember the name. This time of year, you're besieged by window companies. The one that you want to call is Universal Windows Direct. Have them come to your home, do that free in-home estimate, and you'll get a $100 Amazon gift card. That'll get you a few presents ticked off your list. So check them out, get them in your home, and do that estimate, and you'll see why these windows are great and how it will save you money. Plus, your house will have that new glow with new windows. Like me, you'll be saying, "I love my windows." It's ESPN 680 and 105.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
The people who go to articles, like on Eric Crawford's, who just wrote this nice piece about the game last night. It's headlined, "Like Old Times. Packed House Top Ranking Tuesday Marked Louisville Basketball's Return." And I think it's an accurate piece. It's a lot of quotes from some of the players, people. It's terrific. Right when you get to the comment section, there's six people who've commented. Person says, "Terrific article, the cards are back." This other guy says, "You captured everything I felt last night, Eric, the vibrations beneath my feet, the roar behind and beside me, the return of the collective love that appeared before me. It feels dang good to be back." This woman, underneath every single one of them, at the very bottom, she's the first comment on the site. And it's headlined, "Big chance to earn money for Christmas." Has nothing to do with the article. And then for all the people who subsequently commented about the article, she typed underneath them, see my comment, see my comment, see my comment. And it's America. It doesn't cost anything. The question I have, does any, I guess the answer should be they wouldn't do it if nobody responded. But does anybody actually respond based on that? I mean, is it like, you know, I was really looking for work for the holidays to make a little extra money. And so I'm going to go to Eric Crawford's note on the U of L game. See if there's any job openings. Let's bring him in right now. Eric, how are you, buddy?
Happy We Want to Know Wednesday, Mr. Valvano.
Thank you. Hope you brought some goods. We'll get to them a little bit later. But here's the thing.
I got a little bit.
I was commenting on this Juliana person who comments on your column by writing something that has absolutely nothing to do with your column, but is headlined, Big Chance to Earn Money for Christmas. And I'm just wondering. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's pretty typical in these online comments now. It's like an automated something or other. They need to lock down the website a little better so those don't get through. But your first problem is reading any comment at the end of a story like that. That's
no. Well, this was a pretty popular one because what you wrote, I think, was a feel-good piece, and it wasn't, puff. It was the truth. And it was very accurate, actually. It was, you know, it was like it used to be, as you pointed out. But anyway, the point I was making before I let that go is I guess they must get some response or they wouldn't do it. But do you think anybody signs up to, like, go work for these people based on that? Like, if you're looking for extra work for the holidays, do you say, let me read Eric Crawford's note about the game. Maybe I can get a job. It doesn't follow the logical sequence.
Whoa, wait a minute. That would be a good story to find. And I remember back in the day, I don't know if you remember, the New Yorker magazine did a story about people who responded to the Nigerian prince email and actually followed it through. And they did stories on what happened with all these people and all the money and all that. It was pretty fascinating.
It was. Well, Juliana, I got to say, I hope you don't get any response because that's not
famous scams. No, it's automated because I bet every column, every story you pull up on the site, that's one of the first things is like a work from home post. And there are ways to prevent those from showing up, but I don't know what they are, obviously. Or if I did, I would prevent them.
All right, well, that's enough on that. Let's get to the actual column itself. You pointed out 21,000-plus on hand. Louisville did, you know, prime the pump a little bit. They made it a whiteout. They made $10 seats available in the upper arena. But I'll tell you, whatever it is, they should consider doing it on a more regular basis because they had 21,674. It's just the second time since 2016-17 they broke the 21,000 mark. And, of course, that was the last season before the college basketball scandal broke. The question about that is how much of the change is the scandal and how much of it is a sweeping change in the country? The attendance is down everywhere.
No, I don't think it's any. I don't think it's a commentary on the program or anything like that. I mean, as I noted in the column, even UK is downsized. I mean, they're down to 20,000 and change in Rupp Arena is the capacity. So there's actually this arena now is bigger than that one. And from a seating capacity standpoint, people just don't go. And if you climb up there, as I did before the opening game, up there to the upper deck, take some pictures, but you know, you think about watching a game from up there, it's just not what we do anymore. But what they did last night and what they will try to do, I think, for a lot of big games the rest of the season, is create some incentive where it's worth it for you to be there, to be in person, to be a part of what's going on. And whether it's, you know, special halftime things to honor or whiteouts or giveaways or ticket reductions or anything, that's what they're going to have to do because there's a core, you know, what, a 15,000 that's going to show up. And then if you want more, you got to do something special. But that's not just at Louisville. That's everywhere. And regardless of the problems here, that's happening all over. The nice thing about what happened here is that it has been rough. And Chris Mack was pretty honest about that. He said this fan base has been through hell and back, and I'm happy for him. And I think that resonated with fans, what he said. And I think the moment resonated with them clearly. It was one of those things because it is pretty striking to think in 2016-17, that crowd last night was what Louisville averaged. And that hadn't been that long ago.
you made the point in the column, you think many of the fans that were there last night, for example, haven't been back at all since that title was vacated. You think, was that a significant number?
No, I don't know if it was or not, but I think that there were some maybe that didn't, but they could have been. I don't know. I'm not pointing at that as the reason it's fallen off, but I don't think you can also look away from it because it's clear there's been a fall off. And some of that, you know, look, I can't get around it. Some of that's just Rick. I mean, Rick, you know, was a show. And when they went on the road, it was packed. It wasn't just home games that were packed. People wanted to come to watch him. So some of that might have been that. But, you know, who knows for whatever reason people have. And there are plenty of good reasons to stay home, watch it on TV, turn up the radio, you know, whatever people are doing. There's a lot of good reasons, economic and otherwise. But it was nice to see last night everybody kind of get caught up in this, let's get out, let's support the team, let's make a difference. And the notion of crowd as participant was very much in the arena last night, and that's fun.
Eric Crawford from WDRB joining us. We're here at the Kroger in Stony Brook, and we hope you'll come join us as well. Help us cram the van as we try and make some money for some families who could use some support for the holidays. We'll take this money and go to Kohl's and parlay it into some toys and clothing for some children who are in need of a little holiday joy. So hopefully you come help us do that. We'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But let's get back to the actual game itself. I have asked people, not because we were trying to be naysayers or, you know, or felt strongly about it. I was very concerned about it from this game from Louisville's point of view, because there was some legitimate concern. They had won games against, inferior competition, and they, by Chris's own admission, he didn't think they played even especially well against Western. And I mean, this was quite a jump up in class. It certainly looked, though, like it was the first true road game for Michigan. But I guess the question about that is, how surprised are you or impressed by you or are you by what went on, or both? What's your reaction?
I am. The surprise came in this. They have been great offensively all year. They had to be really great defensively to do what they did last night. And I know Michigan is tired and they've done a lot of traveling and on the road and all that stuff. But I think that was a different level maybe of defense than we've seen from them. And they're going to have to win a lot of games that way when they get into conference play and against anybody good. And I think that they turned it up a notch defensively. So that was a little bit of a surprise because they've been doing so much offensively that was good to see. Otherwise, you know, I don't think Western is terrible. I don't think they're great, and I think Akron's going to be a decent team. So it's not like they hadn't played just anybody. I mean, Miami is what it is, but they hadn't played anybody that had been viewed as elite. And we'll see if Michigan, you know, can stick out in that class for the long term. But we know they're good offensively, and to see them do that against the team, and it wasn't just like a play a close game, coin flip at the end. They grabbed him by the throat early, and that was pretty much it. Michigan never really threatened. So that's impressive, and they've done that two straight games, to be honest. So all we can do is watch them against the better competition as it comes up. But I wasn't surprised, and I'm still impressed by it.
Yeah, I agree with the impressed part, and the defense last night was a clinic. You could use that as an instructional film if you want to play backline.
Really,
it was so
fun. Yeah, I just sitting watching them play just from the baseline on the court, just seeing them rotate, cover, flash over for each other, and then flash back. There was just every little. It was pretty to watch. It doesn't make for pretty basketball. I know it was not the most aesthetically pleasing game, but they did some really nice things, I thought.
I'm trying to get the upper level seats at the 4-minute timeout to chant, "Stay till the end. Stay till the end." So all the people at the bottom won't leave. But you grew up here. That's kind of Don Quixote-ing it, huh? Tilting it windows.
Yeah, it's just how it is. And it doesn't matter. I mean, the Music City Miracle, where they come from, what was it, 17 down with 4-something to play and win the game, that doesn't even keep people from leaving. So
that's unbelievable.
You know, that's just how it goes. You go to church in Louisville and people are leaving, you know, they're ducking out early. So it doesn't, that's just, that's just what they do. It's probably a habit. I mean, they're probably sitting and watching the games at home, and it gets to be 3 minutes left. They get their car keys and go out the door. You don't even know where they're going. So that, it's just a fact of life. That's just how it works. But that's okay. I like being faithful, but you can't have everything.
I like the church analogy. Jesus, I came to see, but I'm not staying for dinner, though. I'm sorry. I got to go before that.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You got to get a spot over at the Cracker Barrel or wherever.
Eric Crawford from WDRB is with us. It's not over yet, obviously, but there is one game left for both the football teams. But the season, as the regular season is in the books, how do you assess both of them, and is the bowl game more meaningful for either of them? How meaningful? We're kind of a little, I know we're not done, but it's enough of the season's in the books where we can kind of draw some conclusions. What are those conclusions for you?
I think the bowl is probably the same amount of meaning for either one. You know, Kentucky's been playing with this Lynn Bowden deal, and whether they win their bowl game or don't win it, it's been a pretty good run for them, and the impressive way they beat Louisville, I think, is enough to please most fans moving forward, because they got most of that team plus Terry Wilson back next year, so they're really looking good. For Louisville, I maintain that no matter what happened against Kentucky, it's been a runaway success story for this season, and it has been. I think they missed, there were some things that cost them in that game. There was some sickness, and none of that's going to make up all those points. I thought that they would play better offensively in that game than they did. I thought Kentucky could put up mid-30s, low 40s on them, and they did. They just didn't score mid-30s or low 40s themselves. I think they can heal up. I think the bowl matchup for Louisville is probably more important than it is Kentucky in terms of what their prospects are. But, look, it's been a wildly successful first season for Scott Satterfield. Nothing's going to happen here at the end that's going to make me think that, that they didn't have a great year. And that's just all there is to it. The very fact that we're talking about any bowl at all, much less a good bowl or media or whatever kind of bowl, is just pretty remarkable. So I don't want to lose sight of that. And, we'll see how they do. But I don't think it might tarnish it with some fans if they weren't real competitive in a bowl. But to me, they've done so much that it's been a huge success already.
All right, my friend. It has been great to catch up with you. I will
talk
to you soon. And are you coming to Pitt Friday, or you don't know yet, or what are you doing?
I'll be at Pitt on Friday. Most popular street name in the United States is Second Street.
I almost closed you out. Yes, thank you for that. I'm sorry.
Want to throw that out there. Second Street.
That's
why
a good
it's not
one.
First, I don't know.
What's the second on the list? Is it Main Street or First Street? Would be interesting.
Second Street was number one, and then I think it was third after that.
Really?
Very strange. First was fourth. and I don't know if First Street's been getting renamed. No, First was third, I'm sorry. Fourth was fourth. Park is fifth. Fifth is sixth. Main is seventh. And sixth is eighth. And if anybody understands what I just said, good luck to you.
That's like a very confused first-time race caller. We don't know how the race ended. We have no idea. So
yeah. Who is on first?
That's interesting. I don't know. Third base. Yes, I get it. So, all right, brother. I'll see you Friday. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
Eric Crawford was, man, thank you. Glad he got that in. I almost forgot. That's a good one. Second Street is the most common street name. I'll look it up. I've seen that list before, but I'm guessing it doesn't explain why, but I think he nailed it. I think in a lot of streets, in a lot of cities, if they take a name to if a street to rename after the first after you know a famous person, they start with the first street. They start with First Street. That's my guess. But again, I have no basis for that. Most common or they had a street that ran into town and it was already named, Dawn Neely Street. And so they just kept that name. And then they, as the city expanded, they said, well, let's build another street here. And it was again Second Street and Third Street. I'm guessing. I have no idea, though. We're absolutely spitballing. But here are the most common street names in America. We're not doing the world. We could do the world later. But let's do U.S., shall we? These are 2nd Street is 1st, 3rd Street is 2nd, 1st Street is 3rd, 4th Street is right where it belongs, 4th. Then Park Avenue is 5th, 5th Avenue is 6th, Main Street is 7th, and 6th Street is 8th.
Where the hell is Broadway?
Then if you Oak Street is 9th, 7th Street is 10th.
So Oak Street is the most popular wood street.
7th is 10th, Pine is 11th, Maple 12th, Cedar 13th, 8th Street 14th, Elm Street 15th, View, never would have guessed that, 16th, Washington is 17th, 9th Street is 18th, Lake is 19th, and Hill is 20th. No Broadway at all, folks. It's an anti-New York bias, I'm telling you. It's a bunch of garbage. Most common street names in the world, however. Let's go take a look at that. How do you suppose that works out? Most common street names in the world. I got the exact same list, so let's try it from scratch.
Where are you getting this list from, by the way?
Googlage. Here we go. Most common street names in the world. Well, in the UK, it's not a whole lot different. The UK, 2nd Street is the first also on the list. Not very much different. I get one of those pop-ups that screwed everything up. How about the most popular street names in Canada? That's unbelievable. Canada, it's the same thing. 2nd Street is the most common. That seems really, really odd as hell, to be honest with you.
I'm surprised Maine isn't. Every town has a Main Street.
Well, it's on there. Oh, boy, these are some serious bad pop-ups.
Porn? A lot of porn.
No, it was porn, but it was still a pain in the ass. Now, these are all, this one's more current. This is from 2019. Is 2nd Street the most common street name in the U.S.? And the simple answer is yes, it still is, as of 2019. So 3rd Street is 700 streets behind it. But the order of the streets stays the same. So how about that? There you go. How about this? Here's another factoid. This is a great factoid. You know the Cooper Minis? You know the car?
Yes, big fan of the Mini Cooper.
Every single Beatle owned a Mini. I don't know.
Like the band. Okay.
The Beatles, yes.
Yeah, for some reason I was thinking like the car, the Beatle owned a Mini. Yeah. So the band, the Beatles, every single one of them owned a Mini Cooper.
Every member of the Beatles owned a Mini. Enzo Ferrari, you know Ferrari, of course. He thought the Mini was so much fun to drive, he bought 3 for himself.
That's awesome. You know, it's kind of ironic.
What's that?
Cooper has no idea who the Beatles are, so.
I don't even want to. That's sad. First, it used to be, we always internalize it. Sad for us, like I'm getting old. Then I realized that's not about me. That's about him. That's ridiculous. That's just an obliviousness to the world. That's preposterous.
Okay. I mean. I feel kind of bad.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to besmirch him too much. He got Paul McCartney mixed up. He thought he was with, he couldn't remember if he was with the Rolling Stones or the Beatles. So it was like, it wasn't like completely didn't know. It was.
Still pretty messed up. The first Mini had an ashtray instead of a radio because the makers thought a radio was too extravagant. Oh, this is a sad thing, although it'll be very popular here in oh, you son of a beep. I was just about to read. Oh, here it is. I think I can still find the factoid here. I think I can. Yeah, this is it. That the earliest Minis, the designer designed it. So if you look, there's room in the door for a flask of Gordon's gin because that was his favorite gin. I don't think that's something you should advertise. Hey, we built in a place for you to take your booze while you're cruising around town. That's just, wow. Let's hope we put it there so, like, as you were driving to where you were going to go and then drink it, it wouldn't fall over and break or anything like that. So it was just, you know, it was just set up very nicely.
Right, when you left the car and entered the party.
Yes.
Which you would be responsibly drinking, yes.
Right, not drinking it while you're at the party. I wondered about this. Would this be a great V Foundation fundraiser, Kentucky and a Friends of V? First of all, I don't think he'd do it. Secondly, it may not be. We got to talking last night. I seem to remember I was interviewing Griff, Daryl Griffith. I don't know how many years ago, three, maybe not even that long. And we were talking about he still looks in great shape, and he said he hasn't dunked a ball in, I don't know, at that point he had said like 2 years or something. And I was talking with Luke last night, who gave very gracious comments. They both were very good in their comments, very, very good. And Luke made a joke at the beginning saying, well, he's nice to be up here with Griff because I'm one of the few guys that could jump higher than he could, which obviously elicited a pretty good chuckle from the crowd. But the point behind that is he said he looks like he could still dunk now. And I told him the same story. He told me he hadn't dunked in like a couple of years. And he said, yeah, but I'll bet you if he really wanted to, he could again. And I said, yeah, I'll bet you he could too. How great a fundraiser would that be? Griff, you get a special invite, like 50 people. For Griff's last dunk. Yeah, nobody can video it. There's nobody's allowed to bring a camera in, a phone in. You will be the only people who can walk away and you saw his last dunk and then ask him. And I bet you if he, you know, got in the gym for a week, he could probably do it. I mean, a guy who could jump 3 feet over the rim before could probably get up high enough to dunk it right now. I may have to run that by him because I think people would definitely sign up for that. I would pay for that. I mean, seriously. You know, you put a little food out, you get somebody to cater it. 50 people, $100 a pop, $5,000 you make for the charity, and then you it's public. And everybody gets a shirt. Griff's last dunk. You getting jazzed up about that or not?
I like that idea. I think
it's easy for me to say because I can't dunk.
Yeah, I was gonna say
none of our
CLs M A or whatever the other CL P. How many CLs are there? I need to ask our friends at Core Physical Therapy. None of them are really on the line. But yeah, I kind of like the idea of seeing Dr. Duncan Stein dunking one last time.
All right, I'm gonna run this by him, and my expectation he says yes is 25-1-4.
But maybe it's one of those things where the idea, just like anything, you know, you don't usually get it on a first try. You got to go back to the drawing board and, you know,
tinker
it a little bit.
He looks in great shape.
The pieces are here.
I mean, I find it hard to believe. But maybe he says, no, you don't understand. I mean, I'm still, my weight is really good. But, I mean, you don't play and don't jump. I can't dunk anymore. I mean, maybe he can. I don't know. I'll never forget. Again, dropping names, the people who hates that on the show, so another thing for you to hate. I interviewed at Yale for the coaching job, and the athletic director was the former quarterback for the Cleveland Browns named Dr. Frank Ryan. He was a mathematician, brilliant guy. He actually taught math at Yale in addition to being the athletic director. Brilliant guy. I mean, this is a great athlete. And the guy they had, they felt, did a great job recruiting, but was not a good bench coach. And the alums got mad, and they wanted a guy who knew how to coach. So this was the strangest interview I've ever gone through. He was an odd guy, a likable guy, but odd. So he wanted me to put him through a practice. So he came out to, I was living on Long Island at the time. We got my old middle school, where I went to middle school. They were nice enough, they closed off the gym for just him and me. And, I mean, I was not in great shape. I was, how old was I? I mean, I wasn't old. I should have been in better shape. My point is I wasn't playing competitively or anything. And I mean, I was a lot lighter than I am now, but I was not in great game playing shape by any stretch. But I certainly wasn't going to put him through this and then not do it myself. So I went out and we went through practice. And he was probably a little younger than I am now. And I was, as I said, I didn't regard myself at all in playing shape. And I mean, I just was amazed at how much faster I could be in all the drills than he was. And I was not, you know, a speedy athlete to begin with, and I certainly wasn't in game playing shape. So my point is, and he was in good shape too, Dr. Ryan, he was still fit, he's still, so maybe Griff, I don't know, maybe Griff would say that. Maybe he'd say, no, listen, my weight's good, I look good, but you don't understand, I'm, how old is Griff now? I mean, he's what? He's got to be, what, he got out like an 80, so that you got 21, that's 40, he's like 60, right? Isn't he? Let's go look it up. He's got to be. Maybe he said, listen, dude, how many 60-year-olds do you know that are dunking? I mean, there's probably not many.
Is so, 61.
All right, so he's probably saying, listen, it's nice that you think I'm still in fighting shape, but I'm not dunking the ball. But if he could, I'm telling you, that would be awesome. That would be spectacular. I think you get more than 50 people. I really do. I mean, you have a little reception, little, wine and cheese kind of thing, and everybody gets a shirt, Griff's last dunk, and nobody can film it. So you will be the only people in the world to see this. There will be 100 people in the world that can say they saw Dr. Dunkenstein's last dunk. I mean, I might be able to get the whole lower bowl with the Yum Center filled. Maybe we should split it with the university. They'll take half, we'll take half. I mean, seriously.
That would be really cool.
You wouldn't show up for that? I'd show up for that. I'd pay for that myself. That's spectacular. I don't know. We got to give that some thought. But, again, it may be a moot point because he may say, yeah, I could dunk, but I'm not taking part in your cockamamie little thing.
Or he might be like the last dunk. I plan on dunking until I'm 80. But
yeah, well, then he can do what he wants at that point. He's like a boxer. He can come out of retirement. He can do what he wants. But for us, it's the last dunk.
Well, maybe we could do it like Cher. Like it'll be like 50 dunking farewell tours.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
One last time.
This is Griff's 19th final dunk, farewell dunk. That would be pretty cool. Maybe we could, that would be. He may not want to do it for that reason, though. You're right. He may say there's a athletes don't like the finality of things, so he may say, "I'm not doing that. It makes me like I'm dying. I'm not dying. It's not. I'm not in the mood to dunk for you." So I don't know. We got to track him down and ask him that. I think that's very cool. All right, I've got some business
everybody?
To do.
Yes, tell everyone what you're doing out there, Kroger.
I'm sitting here. What are you doing?
You mean
this thing? For the fourth straight year, that would be 4 years in a row, four consecutive years, ESPN Louisville and Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water, which I'm going to have, by the way, at the top of the hour break. I'm out of beverage.
What flavor? I'm going to go crack one, too.
Sitting over there.
Think I'm going
to
get
the colors that she has. You ask me, and then you can give me a chance to answer.
Yeah, no.
The colors she has on display are like a pink. I think it's the pink one's grapefruit, right?
Yes, pink is grapefruit.
And then it's like a green one.
Green one, it's like a green one is cucumber, and that one tastes very much like cucumber. It's very refreshing. Then they have like I forgot what it's called.
Grapefruit.
Zazu
I
and
answered
lime.
Your question.
That one's a good one.
I'm getting grapefruit.
Then the light orange
grapefruit.
One is peach, and then the blue one is just regular sparkling water, which is also very refreshing. These things make great mixers, by the way.
I'm getting a grapefruit when you come
and
back.
And the newest flavor is a light orange. It's a peach. And that usually we all fight about that one over here at the office.
I got a thumbs up from the pretty girl.
Who? There's a pretty girl?
The Focus girl. She was walking to the restroom. And I said, I'm going to get a grapefruit when you get back. And she gave me a thumbs up.
See that? Drink,
like she was,
drink Focus
like she was
gonna, and pretty
like
girls
she was
getting, give you a thumbs
she was,
up.
She was climbing in the cockpit for a World War II mission. She was just giving me the thumbs up. Yay for the Allies.
Victory in Europe.
Victory in the delicatessen. We're gonna go and I'm telling you, we're hitting a cheese shop. They won't know what hit them. There's going to be mozzarella all over the place. For the fourth straight year, ESPN Louisville and Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water are going to cram a van or two or more. Last year, we crammed the snot out of a gigantic truck full of toys and clothes that Wayside Christian Mission and the Salvation Army will distribute to area kids. Focus Sparkling Water will match up to $5,000 in donations from our listeners. Last year, we took the money raised, which was 12,500 in listeners and 5,000 in matching funds. We raised that money, and then we purchased, that means we took $17,500, and we purchased just under $49,000 worth of toys and clothes from Kohl's. And I mean literally just under 49. It was like 48.1. It was 48.940 something. So it was just under $49,000. So we got bang for the buck. Toys and clothes from Kohl's. Please join us in helping reach that goal again. You can donate at our GoFundMe page. Just search Cram the Van 2019. You can call the Salvation Army if you don't want to go to the GoFundMe page. Just search Cram the Van. You can come see us here at the Kroger in Stony Brook. You can call the Salvation Army special number, 671-4926. But help us out, and while you're here, you can do what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get me a Focus right now. You can do that, too. They've got free ones for you. Come check it out, and we'll do it. I think she's back from the mission, so I can go get her. Oh, she's going to bring it to me. Isn't that sweet? It's full service. How about that? We'll come back. ESPN 680-1057. Thank you.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.